CPC, our planners and our presenters wish to disclose that they have no financial interests or other relationships with the manufacturers or of commercial products, suppliers of commercial products, or commercial supporters, with the exception of Sharon Humiston, that would be me, who has received honoraria for speaking and advisory roles with MedImmune, Merck, GlaxoSmithKline, and Sanofi Pasteur. Presenters will not include any discussion of the unlabeled use of a product or a product under investigational use. Okay. With that said, what I'll be talking about today is healthcare provider attitudes and practices regarding adolescent immunization. It's a qualitative study that we did, and I just wanted to acknowledge my co-authors and funding from the CDC. The objective of our study was to assess healthcare providers' attitudes and practices regarding adolescent immunizations within a primary care setting, including factors that impede or facilitate adolescent immunizations. So we were trying to get them to talk not just about the adolescent immunizations themselves, but that within the context of primary care. So the discussion was focused on the vaccines in general and on the three newest adolescent vaccines, HPV, MCV4, and Tdap. The study design, we had three focus groups that were all local to Monroe County, New York. They included healthcare providers, and I'll go into more detail on this. And then 21 structured key informant interviews with healthcare providers, and that was a national survey. The methods for the focus groups, this again was located just in Monroe County, New York. We had three focus groups. One was with primary care physicians practicing in urban centers, one for primary care physicians in suburban centers, and then one focus group for nurses who practiced in the centers that were represented in the two physician focus groups. Each of the focus groups was audio taped, and discussions were transcribed verbatim and then analyzed using Atlas TI. So that's the focus groups. Now the interviews, the population was, again, a national group. We had knowledgeable informants that we found through key informants around the country who then gave us the names of primary care physicians and nurses. The physicians, again, were both pediatricians and family physicians, and there were six nurses that were interviewed practicing across the U.S. All investigators, so all of those co-authors did some of the interviews, unlike the focus groups, which were only done by me. They were conducted over the telephone. They lasted anywhere from 20 to 60 minutes. Then each interviewer typed up their interview notes, and the notes then were faxed to the participant to verify and add additional comments. The analysis for this section was to take all of those comments then and combine them so that the answers to each question were in one group. We added any themes that came out of that to the themes that had come out from the focus groups. What we found were three overarching themes noted to be critical for adolescent immunizations. The first was professional buy-in, the second, parent or adolescent buy-in, and the third, delivery factors, including vaccinations within healthcare visits. So, to get into some depth on the professional buy-in factors that came out of these focus groups and interviews. The first was finances. Delays in insurance translated to slow uptake of the immunizations. We heard over and over again how the delay between the time that CDC announces the immunization is recommended and the time that it was published was the time when providers had heard that it was coming and the time that the families could actually have the vaccine covered. The poor reimbursement also came up frequently. And here's a quote from one of the focus groups. "There is no way vaccines are cost effective for us. It costs us an incredible amount of money in terms of time, because the time we spend, the time the nurses spend, we're not even close to being reimbursed for the amount of time we spend on vaccines. It's huge amounts of money giving vaccines." In addition to finances, there was a lot of discussion about professional organization recommendations, especially American Academy of Pediatrics. Over and over we heard, if it were recommended by AAP, I would do it. So less frequently, CDC and ACIP came up. Disease characteristics, the severity of the disease and the prevalence of the disease came up frequently. And the prevalence of the disease wasn't just the national prevalence of the disease, it was the prevalence of the disease locally that was important. And of course, personal experience. There, and I often talk about how I could sell HIV disease, HIV vaccine to anybody because I saw so much HIV disease myself. Similarly, people who had no experience with HPV were less enthusiastic about that vaccine, that it was more a cerebral concept rather than pertussis, where pediatricians talked about they had all seen pertussis, and so they were so enthusiastic about that vaccine. The vaccine characteristics were also discussed. There was a lot of concern about duration of immunity. That was a frequent theme. Duration of immunity, meaning that with HPV vaccine, for example, if you give the vaccine at 11, will it still be protecting them when they're 22? Similarly, with MCV4, if you give it to them at 11, when they leave for college, will they still be protected? And so pediatricians and family physicians were worried. They were worried about giving it at the early end of adolescence because they were afraid it wasn't going to keep on working. The things that were reassuring about the vaccine characteristics, if it was for a familiar disease and a familiar vaccine, that was a big bonus. So Tdap, for example, was considered a no-brainer because it was a familiar disease, pertussis, and a familiar vaccine because they had so much experience with DTaP. Office consensus was also often brought up that a physician may say, yes, I've heard the national statistics about HPV, but it takes the whole office to get the system in place. And so if there are dissenters in the office about giving a vaccine, that sometimes it's harder to get the job done. For parent or adolescent buy-in factors, I'll make a point here that this is providers, healthcare providers, talking about what they perceive adolescent and parent buy-in factors to be, not the families themselves talking about it. School requirements. I thought this was a great quote. There's a carrot and stick approach. They can't get into school without it. So school requirements being very important to forwarding of vaccines. MD recommendations, everybody said that the most frequent question that parents asked was, what would you do if it were your child? So that kind of, you know, one-on-one still key despite all the statistics. Cost and insurance coverage. Parents see insurance delays as signs not just that they can't afford the vaccine, but that the vaccines aren't necessary. I'll talk about the high deductible thing next. And the quote below reflects on this. Well, if they won't pay for it, is this really what I'm supposed to get when they paid for all the other vaccines? And another quote, it immediately gives you a message that maybe the doctor is just trying to give my kid another shot. So I thought that was interesting. I hadn't heard that before. I assumed that parents thought that their insurance company was evil if they didn't cover the vaccine, not that the doctor was just trying to give something extra. There was also some discussion of concern about new high deductible plans where parents pay for everything out of pocket until they reach a very high deductible, and concern that the high deductible plans would be sweeping the nation and making immunization impossible. Another thing that was brought up was media reports, and that they were considered very powerful for better or for worse. For better in the sense that in our area there had been outbreaks of pertussis and meningococcemia in schools. And so that kind of coverage brought families in. Media, and of course, you can imagine the bad side of it. Media will help to or hurt, one of the two. You know this is going to go way back to MMR. There's an article I pulled up that's called How Many Times Do I Have to Tell You? About how the MMR is safe. But one report can generate complete distrust in what we say. And with adolescent vaccines, it's going to be the same thing. They also talked about how disease characteristics would affect parents' attitudes. So proximity, cases in the community being a very important facilitator for vaccination, and that the mode of transmission really matters to parents. So a respiratory mode of transmission was considered indiscriminate, whereas HPV vaccine, a sexually transmitted virus, made that vaccine a lifestyle vaccine. The vaccine characteristics were also considered important, including safety. And then something that was brought up, a term I had never heard used before, was vaccine fatigue. What this person meant was, it came up in the suburban focus groups. Rather than being excited about increasing number of diseases that could be prevented, parents often exhibited vaccine fatigue. More time was required to explain to parents the importance of all the vaccines, including the ones that had been used for years. Here's the quote. It's always been easy to convince parents of vaccines because the vaccines, have been for meningitis, for these horrible things. As we add to the numbers and the things that we're adding for, what we're adding are for, less and less fatal things or serious things, it becomes a harder and harder sell. It's the total burden of needles. The delivery factors that were considered important in the provider qualitative study included vaccine supply, the shortage being difficult on many levels. It's a matter of supply, and you try to explain that, but it's hard to explain something that's a global issue and try to bring it down to an individual patient level. It doesn't meld, it doesn't fit. So what he was talking about here was that after you have sold a family on getting a vaccine, then the next visit they can't get the second shot because of a shortage, and so you have to back off. Or a family who's heard about a vaccine, and now you're like meninge, and then you have to explain why you can't give that today. Ordering, interwoven with finances, supply, and media reports that ordering is extremely difficult. Timing and scheduling, specifically concerns regarding duration of immunity, poor attendance at well care, trying to bring in teens for vaccine-only visits, and getting 3 visits in 6 months. Consent was a big issue in both urban and suburban practices. In urban practices, they talked about how kids take on more of an adult role earlier in life, and so adolescents often are expected to go for primary care without a parent, whereas suburban kids, it was a problem because they could drive themselves. Tracking and reaching teens for vaccinations, the information systems registries were not primarily used for adolescents. Their records are scattered all over the place. Recall depends on tracking. Optimizing visits, they were resistant to vaccinating adolescents during acute care. For example, one person said, if a 13-year-old shows up for a pregnancy test, it's true. I don't think about immunizations. The limitations of our study, it was qualitative data, so it is rich data with interesting quotes that came from it, but it's a small sample of people. The three focus groups, was from a single county in the United States, and so other counties might experience something very different. The interviewees, however, were from across the United States. Some responses may have been artifacts of the context of the question. So MCV shortage was in effect while we were asking these questions. So a lot of the discussion of shortages may have come up because of the context that they were living in. Healthcare providers were reporting on their perceptions, which I mentioned, it wasn't parents reporting. The implications of our study, the success of the new adolescent vaccination effort depends on buy-in from multiple parties, and the systems are intertwined with each other and need to be resolved before coverage can be achieved that approaches the childhood immunization levels. Thank you.